the illegal spending. So the judge is off the hook. And guess who else got off the hook at that moment? Pastor Sotolo. He got off the hook as well with that very decision. And he wrote the decision. No recusing yourself for conflict of interest here. No recusing yourself for conflict of interest. Then he goes out and he goes to Cleveland and gets in the flat zone that his car gets broken into. He reports to the police my car got broken into, and I had $18,000 in cash in my luggage. $18,000 in cash. He said, well, where'd you get it? And he said, well, I've gone to the bank. I had some personal problems. I went to the bank, and I just took it out of the bank. Something happened. He slept on it or whatever and realized somebody told him, I don't know what, that he, you know, if you took $18,000 out of the bank, you better have the documentation to back that up. Well, the next day it turns out that, no, this is money he had put in the drawer every night and had changed in your pockets. I know it looks bad, he says. So, I don't know. Do you think I should make that an issue? Because just this past week or two, it turns out that Tom Noe was laundering money to Justice O'Donnell and a couple of the other justices, and somebody confessed to that crime just in the past week and a half, that they had taken money. Tom Noe had already maxed out his contribution, so he was funneling money through somebody else to give to Justice O'Donnell. So that was happening as well. That's what's going on. And we got to move on, right? Okay, I'm sorry. We've got to move on.
See, the weather's poor, but I see you all smart enough to get indoors, so it's worked out well for us. Marion, I saw in Allen County, I was in Allen County the other day, maybe some of you have seen these. This is one of those Lance Armstrong type wrist bracelets, and it says on it, Think Blue, and then on the one side it says 11706, and the other side says 11408. So I'm ordering a bunch of those, and I want each of you to have one of those for the work we're going to do this year, and then we're going to do again 3 years, 2 years. I keep wanting to say 3 years, 2 years from now. I'm Rich Cordray. I'm running for state treasurer. I am currently the Franklin County treasurer, and I am so happy to see the energy of this group, these groups in this room, because we need that energy on our side to win this election this year. And we need it on our side to reshape the state so that when it comes to 2008 and it's time to change the future of this country, we'll be in position to do it. And again, I've said this to you before, I'll say it again, think how different it would have been in 2004 if we had even had one or two state office holders in place to be the foundation of our presidential campaign here in Ohio. We had nothing. And we almost won the state nonetheless. But we're not going to be in that position in 2008, and it starts this year. I'll give you a quick update on my campaign, then I want to talk to you about what's the situation around the state, and then I want to talk to you about what I see as the future and the issues that we need to get behind going forward. And my campaign for state treasurer is going extremely well. I have been endorsed now by the Ohio AFL-CIO, the OCSEA, AFSCME, OPSI, the SEIU Ohio, the Cleveland Building Trades Council, the Columbus Building Trades Council. Every labor group to look at the race so far has endorsed me, many of them not only in the spring but also in the fall. That's a great start. Second, I've been endorsed. I'm very proud to say this. Just Friday was announced that I was endorsed by the Ohio Legislative Black Caucus. The 14 state representatives and 4 state senators from around Ohio who are African-American, have endorsed me for treasurer. They've also endorsed Ted Strickland for governor. Those are the only endorsements I believe they've made to date. And I have been, I've received the personal endorsements of 74 of the 88 Democratic county chairs around Ohio, including every large county except for Montgomery County. That's Franklin, Hamilton, Lucas, Stark, Summit, Mahoning, and Cuyahoga. So that's a good start for our campaign. Second, I have broken, I think, all the fundraising records for a non-incumbent down-ticket candidate this year. We all filed our reports January 31st in all of the races. The Republican TAP-appointed incumbent has $266,000 on hand. My potential primary opponent has $194,000 on hand. I've raised and have on hand $706,000 as of January 31st. So we're doing well at garnering support, and I think that says several things. Number one, that's because people look at the treasurer's race and understand that this is a very winnable race for us this year. It's a very winnable race due to a lot of circumstances I don't have time in 15 minutes to go into, but there's been scandal in that office, problems in that office. The public in Ohio understands that the money has been mismanaged, and there's no more basic problem in the public trust than when the people's money that they send to Columbus is not taken care of carefully by their state government. People resent it, and it doesn't matter if they're Democrats or independents or Republicans. They want to see that changed, and it's going to change this year.
Yes.
Also, I've had an opportunity here in Franklin County, those of you who from here hopefully have some sense, as Franklin County Treasurer, to build a record of innovating in government, of improving public services here, of embracing technology, of being careful with the public's money, of looking to make the public and save the public money wherever we can, and we have done that, and that's a record I'm proud to run on. And we have copies, I don't know where she put them, somewhere on the back table back there. I'd like you all to take one, if you would, of the American City and County Magazine, which last July named me the County Leader of the Year nationally in 2005 for the work we've done in the Franklin County Treasurer's Office. And that's a record that I will run on aggressively against the Republicans around the state. And I think you're hearing from our candidates, because we all are saying it all over Ohio, the Republican scandals and missteps and cronyism and corruption have opened the door for us in 2006. But it's still up to us to make our way through that door, and we're going to have to do more than just naysay. We have to deserve a victory with our program and our proposals and our ideas and our direction and our records and our experience, where we can tout them. And I think we all have to do that. We have to deserve victory if we're going to win in 2006. It's not enough to think that just putting ourselves on the ballot, people are sick of the Republicans and we're going to win. We have a lot of work to do to bring this home in every one of these statewide offices. But if we do it, we have chances to win every one of these statewide offices. I don't know that we'll win them all, but we certainly could. But we do it by making the case, again, we should aggressively make the case about what they have done and have not done. We should aggressively make the case that after 16 years of Republican rule, for the last 12 years, entire one-party rule in Ohio, we lead the nation in personal bankruptcies, we lead the nation in home foreclosures, people losing their home because they can't make their payments, and we lead the nation, hurts me most of all, and people in communities all over the state respond to this because they see it every day, children and grandchildren, young people leaving this state to find a future elsewhere because they can't make the future they think they deserve here at home. And that's because of failed leadership in Columbus. And it's time we called them out. But then we also need to have our own plans. And we have to have our own proposal. We need to argue for why we will be better at delivering accessibility and affordability of higher education, of changing and reforming the primary and secondary school system, of bringing jobs here, and creating innovation and energy and help to small businesses and microenterprises, and incubating the future here in Ohio, which has not been done for 16 years, because frankly, these Republican officers have always been most concerned about helping themselves and helping their cronies, and not about helping the public in the state of Ohio. And that's going to change. My campaign treasurer may not mean as much to some of you as to others. Got a lot of range of age here, is Mary Ellen Withrow. She was the last Democratic treasurer in the state of Ohio. And she has advised me, she was a county treasurer when she was elected state treasurer. She ran on her record. But as state treasurer, she found ways to use that office to build and strengthen our communities around the state and invest in Ohio. She started the Star Ohio program. She started the link deposit programs that were so helpful in making loans available to businesses around this state. That's a program that has withered and basically died on the vine under the Republicans because it was her program, not theirs. And it didn't matter that it was good for Ohio. They wanted to do their own things. And they've done them, and we've seen the legacy, and it's not much. I'm going to restore the kind of rule that Mary Ellen Withrow provided in the state treasury, and that's going to be part of our direction going forward. So, let me tell you that when I go around the state, there is great concern about where we are. There's great concern about our economic plight. There's great concern about the fact that while this state has fallen further and further behind, the focus in Columbus seems to be on wedge issues and dividing us one against another, on who can marry who and on who can choose what. You know, those should not be the focus for these candidates. And yet, when we have those values issues come up, we should fight them on. Their values are not the values of tolerance. They're not the values of community cooperation and strength that I think we need in Ohio. When we pit people against each other, no wonder we can't make progress. And they have been full of hate, increasingly full of hate for 16 years, and we can present a huge contrast to that this year, up and down our ticket, and we have to do that. Started in Washington, but it's coming from Columbus too. We should never let them tell us, without a fierce rejoinder, that if we criticize the direction of our government because we think our government can be improved and can do better, and God knows it can, that that is somehow unpatriotic or inappropriate. Instead, it's unpatriotic to quiet criticism, to silence dissent, and to say that the only way we can do things is the way we're telling you it's being done now. Because that's the road to disaster, and it's the road to closing off so much good advice and so much good feedback from the public who bears the brunt of these policies. And they need to listen in Washington, and they need to listen in Columbus, and we'll make them listen over the course of this campaign, not only us, but all of you. But let's do it respectfully. Let's do it with tolerance and understanding for one another. But let's be forceful and persistent and tenacious in making our case. And let me tell you one more thing. Although, as I told you at the outset here, I'm doing very well under the current campaign funding system because I'm out there generating a lot of support and people who want to help me. I think the time is coming, and I agree strongly with the leadership of Blue 88, when we need to present a clean elections reform package in Ohio. We need to have public financing of our campaign so that candidates, instead of begging for money day in and day out, and that's a lot of what we do, can go out and campaign and debate the ideas on a level playing field, which has not been level for us Democrats for years and years. And if it's different this year, that's a godsend, because it has not been that way for a while. But that needs to change, and we need to take the lead and follow the lead of some of these other states that have been a little more courageous and a little more progressive about understanding that politics should be about ideas and leadership and direction and policy. It shouldn't be about fundraising. So that's something that we need to do. For myself, I am enthusiastic about running for the treasurer's office. Anything that has to do with money and government, I think, is fair game for me if I'm in that office. That covers an awful lot of territory, an awful lot of room for change and improvement in the direction of our government, for rebuilding the bonds of trust with our public in Ohio, for making your tax money work for you. Just because you paid it to Columbus doesn't mean we shouldn't still be investing it and strengthening this state with it. And that's what we'll do under Richard Cordray, Treasury. Pleasure to be here today. Thank you so much for the opportunity. reluctant to mention this because a friend of mine, without my knowledge or authorization, printed up a bunch of buttons. They don't have a disclaimer, so I don't know if they're quite legal. They're the bootleg buttons for Cordray for Treasure, and there's a bunch of those somewhere back there. Take one if you would. And if anybody has questions, I guess I've left time for questions. Yes, miss.
Okay.
That's where I live, too. It's the state, the Department of Taxation, actually. What happens, kind of a specific question, but I'll answer it quickly. What happens is the businesses pay personal property tax. And then when they think that it may not have been done correctly, they can apply for reassessment, redetermination with the State Department of Tax. The State Department of Tax is, frankly, lousy at the way it runs its shop. Those things sit there for 2 and 3 years. We can get no information about them. Then all of a sudden they pop out with a decision that sometimes adjusts the taxes dramatically. That's what happened in our school district here in my school district, where Walmart was adjusted more than $1 million. Comes out of the blue. There's no warning. There's no way to predict it. And there was another one, too, a different company, lesser amount. But, yeah, just another hit upside the head is what it was. Yeah. Other questions? Yes.
Your primary opponent was asked, what is he going to do about seniors being forced out of their homes because of raising taxes? I would like to hear you answer that question, please.
Sure. I'd be happy to do it because I see that as county treasurer. And we just went through the six-year reevaluation of homes here. Mine, like everybody else's, went up, and the taxes went up. My view of that is I have about a six-prong agenda for state treasurer. I haven't talked a lot about it publicly yet because, frankly, I don't want to talk about the agenda too early because I don't want the Republicans to decide that's a good idea. We'll do that. But to answer your question, since you asked, I think that this state, which now has a homestead reduction program for low-income seniors, should go instead to a program that's in effect in six or eight other states, including, I think, Illinois, which is a property tax deferral system for seniors. That is, if you're a senior, you're living in your home, and the valuation's increasing, but you don't want to have to move or sell your home to get that value out, you can defer your taxes over time. They build up as a lien against the home, so you may have somewhat less money to pass on to your heirs, but at the same time, you can have the assurance that you're not going to be forced out of your home by the taxes. After 5 or 7 years, it would be a self-funding program because the people joining the deferral would start to be offset by people who either sell their home or pass away. This is working in other states, and it gives property owners, particularly low-income seniors whose houses are paid for, but the taxes are mounting over time, some assurance and an opportunity to be able to stay in their home. I'll push for that with this legislature. What else can I? Yes. Yes. And yes, I am. I think a linked deposit program, for those of you, it's kind of arcane, but basically it's this. The state treasurer has this authority. Marilyn Withrow sought it and got it years ago to take some of the state's money that they invest and put it out for local banks to hold that money. If the local banks, in return, will make an agreement and a commitment that they will loan money in their community, and we accept a lower interest rate, and they then loan the money out at a lower interest rate. So it effectively means some money from the state treasury is going to be made available in lower interest loans in the local community. There is wide range of authority for what purposes that could be used for. I like to think that in Ohio, given our situation right now, we've lost something like 260,000 manufacturing jobs in the last, I think, 5 or maybe 10 years. And we have basically had flat or declining job growth for the last 5 years, that we should put this into job creation. And I'm interested in, I've been talking to folks who do venture capital and microenterprise and that sort of thing. That would be my first priority. It can also be used for land preservation in some of the urban sprawl, fast growth areas that's done. Sometimes it's agricultural land preservation. But I think right now our priority has to be job creation. That would be my intention with the program. Yes.
So would you invest state money in rare coins in Republican?
No. Next question. No, we. Marion says no, we. It's a worry. I think it's a real worry. Who's going to be in charge of this election this year? You tell me. Ken Blackwell is going to be in charge of the election. Now, he will be under a lot of scrutiny. By the way, by then, he might be a disgruntled former candidate, for all we know. But it's a concern, and we're going to have to, frankly, we're going to have to do what we did last year, but even more aggressively. We're going to have election monitors. We're going to need all of you to go out and recruit election observers. We're going to have to be there looking over their shoulder every step of the way because, frankly, it's very difficult to say that we can trust him right now. And last year was obviously a hugely important election, but I would say 2006 is a hugely important election because it also then points us to 2008, which is going to be the next election that sets the direction of this country for another generation. And frankly, we've been embarrassed around the world for what's happened in the last 5 years, and it's going to happen for 3 more years, try as we might, much of it, and then we're going to have to take a lot of time to set this country right with the world. And that's going to depend on us in Ohio in 06, and it's going to depend on us in Ohio in 08. So even though I'm running for a state treasury financial office at the state level, I feel that every one of these elections this year is going to reverberate in 08 and therefore reverberate in American history for a generation or two to come. And we need to feel that. We need to feel that responsibility on our shoulders. It's only February. It's great that this energy is here this early, but we've got 9 months of work to do, and we need to feel how important that is every step of the way. This is a responsibility to our generation, to the next generation, and frankly to the legacy and traditions and the history of our country, and we need to rise to the challenge. So thank you very much.
Yesterday, but I understand this is Jim Johnson, who I have not met. Someone was going to speak for him. Is there anyone here to speak for John Reardon?
Okay. Parents have come tell me he's here.
All right, we're going to have a little.
I'll take more questions.
I wish I had the talent of Chris Redfern. I saw him on Cincinnati the other night with Jerry Springer, and the two of them were entertaining in a theater setting. And Chris really has the makings of a stand-up comic. But I can't claim that I have that. If he were here, we'd bring him up. But if you have other questions, I'm happy to try to answer them. Yes. I don't know the answer to that. You know, last year, I keep wanting to say last year, in 2004, you know, we had that election protection program at the state party, and the national party, the DNC, helped us with that, but it really didn't get underway until September. So do you have a better answer to that question?
Well, there is a grassroots citizens effort through Ohio Honest Elections, and we've been working very hard for the last year to sure that our elections are accountable. I just want to say, to repeat the word of Stalin, that it's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the vote. And if we do not have a system in place where we are legally able to audit our own election results, because the elections belong to the people, if we do not have a system in place to make sure that our votes are actually counted and witnessed as counted, then, and if we have any race that's within 3 percentage points, we cannot expect that any Democrat will.
Okay, and that's the problem, and that's the concern. But I tell you what, I'll go back to the party chair and suggest that they get the election protection program geared up earlier this year with people involved. But again, it's two pieces. It's not just making sure the votes get counted. It is also making sure that we have the enthusiasm to drive the turnout, to drive the electorate out there, and get voters to the polls and persuade them to come our way. Because otherwise, when we go to count the votes, they won't be there anyway. Okay? So let's not lose sight of either one of those things. But I will talk to Chris about whether they might want to gear that program up earlier.
And let me just add, if I can, that we do have the vice chair of ODP scheduled to speak later on today.
Okay.
Here.
Okay. Good.
So I think we can raise that issue.
Yes,
we
can.
Okay.
Yes.
One more question, because we do have our next speaker.
I realize you're not a legislator.
I was once, but not now.
My question is, do you have some guidance that you could give the state legislature on making school funding more equitable?
I've heard Ted Strickland talk about this issue, and he's talked about the need to be a law-abiding governor and have this be a law-abiding state. When I ran for Attorney General in 1998, I had an entire program, a whole book on what I thought needed to be done in school funding. I haven't changed my mind on any of it. The Supreme Court told us we have to reduce reliance on the local property tax. That hasn't happened. And in fact, in Franklin County, I think we've seen with a vengeance in the comment made earlier, that we're actually relying more on local property tax than ever before, in part because some of the monies that's supposed to go to the schools from the state is being diverted into the charter schools, which is actually, when you run the numbers, meaning that more of the funding for local public education is falling on the backs of the property tax payers. So that's one thing that has to be done, and we'll have to find ways to replace that revenue at the state level. That's a matter of it's not really a matter of intelligence or intellectual figuring out the problem. It's a matter of will. We haven't had the will. This legislature has started off thumbing their nose at the Ohio Supreme Court, found that they could get away with it. Once people get away with breaking the rules, they generally don't go back to abiding by the rules again, and they never have. Okay, so that's one thing. I also think that in terms of the equity formulas and the funding of No Child Left Behind, all of that has fallen short. So we have to look at what demands have been made on our school districts over the last 10 years, 14, 12 years since the DeRolf case really started. Look at those changes and how they've pushed us further behind. And we're going to have to make a realistic assessment of what it costs to provide a quality education in Ohio. And we're going to have to provide the funds from the state level. We're going to have to bite the bullet and just do that, and we're going to have to be able to take some of the monkey off the backs of local property taxpayers. In the last 10 years, Kentucky has done this. Michigan has done this. Ohio hasn't done it. That's, again, a matter of will and a matter of priorities for people. We'll have a different set of priorities with the new governor. I'll have a different set of priorities as the treasurer. I'll be happy to jawbone the legislature on that until that job gets done. Anything else?
Is Paul Hackett.
Well, let's see, I think today I'll stand behind the podium and get out my pen and paper since I hear I've got 2 hours of questions. Well, thanks very much. For me. Out of order. Well, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to address you. Let me be a little bit formal in my comments and start off by introducing myself. I'm Paul Hackett. I want to serve as your next United States Senator from the great state of Ohio. I'm a son of Ohio. I was born in Cleveland, raised in Cincinnati, educated at Case Western Reserve University, Cleveland State for Law School. I met my wife in Cleveland. We got married in Cleveland. And after I completed my service in the Marine Corps, we moved to Cincinnati, where we started our family and where I built my small business, Hackett Law Offices, a small business with 5 employees. I know firsthand the impact that government has on small businesses. Our ability to create good jobs and to provide benefits for our employees. My small business, however, has blessed me with success. And my father taught me growing up, to whom much is given, much is expected. And it's in this spirit of service, leadership, and commitment that I offer my continued service to this state to serve as your next United States Senator. This is who I am. Here's what I believe in government. I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, fair trade, and a strong national defense. Now, what does this mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means I don't need Washington, D.C. to tell me how to live my personal life. Allow me to continue, please. It means I don't need Washington, D.C. to tell me how to live my personal life, worship my God, educate my children, dictate to my wife what decision she makes with her doctor, anymore. Any more than I need Washington, D.C. to tell me how many guns I get to keep in my gun safe. But what I do need are elected representatives to go to Washington, D.C. and fight for regular Americans and what is great about our country, things such as freedom of speech, freedom of and freedom from religion. Freedom from fear, freedom from want. Service, commitment, and leadership is what I offer. And by the way, what I believe happens to be lacking in Washington, D.C. If you think that America is on the right track and that we need more of the same, more career politicians, then I'll tell you right now, I'm not your candidate. Now, as many of you know, and as the signs around here show, I have a primary opponent, Sherrod Brown. He told me he wasn't going to run. In fact, he told me he was going to support me. Now he's running. That's life. That's America. Sherrod Brown has been an elected politician since the age of 21. Now he's asking, I'll tell you so, because now he's asking to move from the House side of the Capitol building to the Senate side of the Capitol building. And I ask you, what will he accomplish on the Senate side of the Capitol building that he's been unable to accomplish in the last 14 years on the House side of the Capitol building?
Exactly.
I also ask you, as Ohioans, are we better off today than we were 14 years ago when Mr. Brown first went to Washington, D.C.?
Attack the Republicans, not your fellow Democrats.
That's fine. But I'll tell you what I'm offering. I'm offering to lead, serve, and be committed to our country and to fight against the career politicians who have overseen the mismanagement of our country. The mismanagement that has led to a weaker America, where our economy has been exported, where our way of life is being diminished and is under attack both by enemies abroad and misguided zealots within our own borders. I'm not a career politician. I'm a small businessman. A small businessman with the experience learned and created in the business world. My experience is about building a small business from scratch, creating good jobs, high-paying jobs with benefits that support American families. I want to take that same level of commitment and service to Washington, D.C. to help rebuild our Democratic Party. The same Democratic Party that built America in the 20th century, that today needs to be retooled to meet the challenges and demands of a new century. The party that doesn't simply aspire to deliver greatness, but the party that has the leadership, commitment, and the willing to fight for what makes this country great. Peace, prosperity, and the freedoms that define America. That's what I want to take to heart. I'm Paul Hackett. I believe I am that leader that can do that in Washington, D.C. And I ask you humbly for your support. And I ask you to join our team so that we can take that fight to Washington, D.C. to bring back America, not just for us, but for the next generation, our children. Thank you. By the way, I want to take just a moment to thank Marion and Chris for sponsoring this event today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Yes, sir.
Hi. I think here in Ohio we're blessed with two excellent candidates in the United States. And people, I know I talked to many people up from Brown County originally, and you ran in the second district. You did very well there.
Yes.
Despite,
thank you for your help down there.
The Republican National Committee and everyone else has put a ton of money.
Yes.
So I think even though people don't always agree with you, they identify with you. I think you speak your mind and you do a very good job at it.
My goodness, are you on my payroll? Yeah, thanks.
But I think that you continue that, and I think people will identify with you, and in spite of potentially dealing with the Republican Party.
That's all right. This is America. This is what we all fight for. It's what makes us great.
You're going to have a lot of competition. What we do is stare down the attacks from the Republican National Committee, and everyone's going to be flooded and flood money in the free.
You bet. And by the way, for the hecklers, I've got no problem with that. And I will tell you right now, if Sherrod Brown beats me in the primary, I will be out there standing side by side with all the great Democrats in this room to make sure that Sherrod Brown has a good time. But with that said, we got 3 months, and Paul Hackett doesn't like to lose, so we're going to have a good, clean fight on the issues. How's that? Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
We did not mean to heckle you, sir.
That's all right.
I think just a word of explanation. Since you have a speech there, I'll just give you another short speech. You didn't get a question there. You won't get one from me. The point is, Sherrod was here. He did not attack you. We like you. We want to like you. We like Sherrod. I think we want to work together and win this election. We just don't want to see
join my team.
We don't want to have mudslinging within our own party, so thank you.
Yes, sir.
As a high school principal in Ohio for 14 years, I have watched the destruction and what I think is the demise of our public education. And I think the current administration, No Child Left Behind, has created Trojan horse. I think it's clearly designed to destroy public schools. Just setting standards. And when I hear people argue to fully fund it, I think it's the absolute worst thing we can do. I'd like to know when you're in the Senate, the first thing that's going to come up, one of the first things that's going to come up in 2007 is the reauthorization of No Child Left Behind. I'd like to know how you're going to vote on it. What would you do?
Well, I agree with your concerns, obviously, about No Child Left Behind. And I will tell you this, that we all have, I think, some very valid criticisms of No Child Left Behind. But at the same time, I think if we step back and we take a look at what the goal of No Child Left Behind is, I think generally we can agree that the goal of providing an equitable and accessible education to all American children, an education that will allow them to take themselves